I've been reflecting on my prior work on CCC, and there are a few things I'm particularly interested in. Obviously, Mitchell's competitive threat, but also from the insurer perspective, potentially using AI to reduce costs, and where the adoption is on that, and the friction. Maybe just a level set. From your perspective as a claims officer, can you think about the high-level claims costs, the major drivers per claim? For a dollar of premium, how do you think about that? Then we can get into how you try to reduce costs for your department.
In the insurance world, if there is a dollar of premium, the industry average target profit is going to be about 5 cents, 4 to 5 cents. That gives you 95 to 96 cents left. Let's say it's 95 cents. Industry average is about 65 cents going to claims cost, which leaves you 30 cents for expenses. Of those expenses, industry average is 20 to maybe 22 cents going to what we call general expenses. Think of general expenses as all expenses other than the cost to handle claims. Marketing, taxes, sales, service. We buy a lot of MVR, motor vehicle record, reports. There are all sorts of expenses on all sorts of things, marketing, sales, and service salaries. The remainder is claims expense. Of the claims expense, that's going to be 8 to 10 cents, give or take. Claims expense is called loss adjustment expense, LAE. You have general expenses and you have loss adjustment expenses, expenses for handling claims. CCC goes into the loss adjustment expense category. Those are the percentages, and that's how you get to an overall combined ratio. When it comes to CCC, there are casualty products, and there is physical damage, auto physical damage. They call it APD, and casualty is casualty. The money that gets spent across the ecosystem, let's use Geico as an example, $43 billion in premium, and LAE is probably 8 or 9%. 8 or 9% of $43 billion is $3.5 billion, give or take. There's a lot of money in that bucket. CCC gets a lot, but it's not everything.
CCC's revenue is $1 billion total. How would you split down this $3.5 billion for Geico?
It goes to claims people's salaries. There are probably 20,000 claims people.
What percentage is that? 75% of that amount, or 50%? That's a big number, $3.5 billion.
It's probably 50 to 65% salary. Anything you can do to become more efficient and take headcount out of the equation is paying a lot of dividends. If CCC's total annual revenue is just under $1 billion, $900 million to $1 billion, Geico might be 5 to 10% of that, maybe $50 to $100 million. You have costs for lawyers, other things in that bucket are very expensive. Between staff counsel and fee counsel, probably somewhere around $500 million to $600 million. You have costs for doctors, independent medical examinations. You have a variety of ancillary expenses, let alone other claim systems and costs.
Of those claims people's salaries, how much of that is split between auto physical and casualty?
Roughly, probably 50-50. If you looked at the premium across the country, it's going to vary a little bit by state. 60% of the cost of claims is physical damage. 40% is casualty. However, the cost per physical damage claim is well below the cost of a typical injury claim. There are some claims handlers with 20, 25 years of experience who might be making $100,000 to $125,000 or something like that. The salaries are going to be different because the experience is different.
You mentioned 20,000 claims people at Geico. They roughly split 50-50 between casualty and auto physical?
I'm going to amend that number. We've got call center. It's probably not 50-50. It's probably 65-35, if not 70-30. That's 70% casualty and or call center. And there are multiple levels within casualty of the different kinds of claims. Let's say 65-35 as a rough guess.
Why is casualty so much higher?
Because the claims pend longer. And you need more people because the claims pend longer. It could take 2 years to settle a casualty claim. It could take a month to resolve a physical damage claim. Physical damage is just fast-paying coverage.
The physical adjusters go out there, look at the car, look at the damage, and estimate the cost. What do the casualty claims people do?
They review medical records and deal with lawyers. Each person might be responsible for 100 claims. Some might close tomorrow, but others require investigating how the incidents occurred. If I rear-end you, it's obvious that I'm at fault. However, if we're in a state with pure comparative negligence, America has interesting negligence laws that vary state by state, including pure comparative and modified comparative, and we're both pulling from stop signs at an intersection. That's different from a rear-end collision. We have to figure out who saw what, when, and how the incident occurred, then investigate all of it. You could have three people in a car who are all injured. That's three separate claims. If your mother and sister are in your car, that's three people. I rear-end your car, that's one car. On a physical damage basis, it's one estimate, but three injuries.
How do you compare the qualifications of the casualty adjuster to the auto physical adjusters?
They're different jobs. Auto physical damage adjusters need to know every part of the car and how it works. It's not taught easily, and neither is the casualty job. Both are experiential with a fair amount of on-the-job training. When it comes to medicine, many casualty adjusters deal with medical issues, and you have varying coverages. You have personal injury protection coverage in America, which is a first-party coverage. If Wes is in Wes's car and Wes is hurt, PIP, personal injury protection, from Wes's insurance company will apply for whatever injuries. You go to the emergency room in an ambulance, follow up with a doctor, treat for 6, 8, or 12 months, and now you're represented by a lawyer. Casualty folks deal with medical issues, so they need to know certain things about the law and medicine to price the value of your claims. The APD adjuster is just looking at the car and the damage to it. They're very different jobs, but both are technical in nature with a fair amount of on-the-job training. GEICO has a school. Most companies have schools for training these folks, but you don't come out 100% proficient. There's still experiential learning.
The casualty adjusting job is mainly a desk-based job. They're not visiting people, or they're visiting people?
Infrequently. If you have to go either a settlement conference or court, you might have a little travel or out-of-office time, but it's really a desk job. Even in auto physical damage now, many estimates come with photos. GEICO has a photo estimated platform, and there are products from CCC like straight-through processing, which we'll talk about at some point, that provide even more relief. There will be other AI initiatives and tools making their way into the casualty space, improving some of the workload and tasks that need to be done. You could get a stack of medical records this high. It's not uncommon. Someone needs to read them and summarize them. You can ingest it into a machine. The machine can give you a summary of what's in those records, but you have to read the summary. If the machine doesn't get it right, you might have to go back and read the records. There are all sorts of things that happen that are different in casualty than in APD.
Which cost items were most in your control as a claims head?
They're all within your control to some extent as a claims department. Without question, the loss cost is within your control. However, you can't control which doctor the claimant, the person who has the claim, goes to. You can't necessarily control which lawyer they go to. What you can try to control is abuse in medicine, meaning doctors trying to do things, and that's what some of the products CCC has helped with. We'll unpack that. You can curb the abuse, which is probably 20 to 25% you can have an impact on. There are certain voluntary payments made in casualty that you can have some control over, like pain and suffering, or what's called general damages. There's something called general damages, which is pain and suffering. You have special damages. Wes went to the doctor and incurred $1,500 in medical bills for an ambulance, whatever. Those are called special damages. We can itemize those. It's a list. And lost wages if you couldn't go to work. All of that is itemizable. You can itemize those. That's easy. Those are called special damages because you can attach a specific number to them. General damages are pain and suffering. Pain and suffering is Wes likes to play tennis, and he couldn't play tennis for 3 months because of injury. That is more subjective. You and I could look at the same case and you could say, because you're brilliant and disciplined, it's not that big of a deal. The pain and suffering amount for this claim is $3,000. I might be a little less focused and disciplined, and I might say it's $7,000. You can have some impact on all of those things. You're trying to guard against abuse throughout the claims department and pay every nickel you owe and not a nickel less, but not a nickel more either.
How easy is it to reduce a dollar of cost in auto physical versus casualty for you as a claims head?
Claims are very different in auto casualty. There is a cottage industry of doctors and lawyers in America that take advantage of insurers. For example, assume Wes is injured and goes to the doctor for an initial office visit. It's 2025, so it is a far more sophisticated world than it was 50 years ago. There are diagnosis codes. A sprain or strain will have a diagnosis code called an ICD-9, International Classification of Diseases, or ICD-10. Along with that diagnosis code are CPT codes for the types of treatment for that sprain and strain. Hot packs, massages, electrical stimulation. I am serious, you can laugh, but massages are included. You would not believe what happens.
So, Geico is funding massage parlors?
Well, they are done by licensed physical therapists, a little bit different than a massage parlor. That treatment can provide relief to people, so the insurance industry has to pay for it if it is of medicinal benefit. The American Medical Association has all sorts of guidelines on this. But to your original question, if you are injured and go to the doctor could charge $300 for the initial office visit. No insurance company in America is going to pay what the doctor bills. There are provisions in the insurance policy that govern the amounts paid. There is terminology like reasonable and necessary. The fact that the doctor's bill is $300 is irrelevant to me. I want to pay the reasonable and necessary amount. I will look at what the average doctor in your zip code accepts. If the average doctor accepts $40 on your $300 bill, I am only paying $40.
So then the claimant has to pay the rest?
Yes, or the doctor accepts the $40.
Does the claimant have to pay the bill, or how does that work?
They get an invoice. They could write it off. A lot of doctors write off amounts that are not paid. You could charge $1,000. I am not paying the $1,000 either.
If I go to a doctor and they do an initial visit, I don't have to pay there on the visit? They give me an invoice to pay. They send me an invoice after? Or how does it work?
You sign a piece of paper called an assignment of benefits. So you give the doctor the right to collect your insurance money. They collect the insurance money, and then what they wind up doing is holding the amount that is unpaid and negotiating it with your lawyer whenever the claim ultimately settles. It's a complicated system, but that is literally the way it works. The lawyers are referring a lot of people to the doctors, so it is not like 100% of that bill gets paid. Each law firm is going to have a relationship where they have a rate, and that is what gets paid.
They get a kickback as well?
It is a cottage industry that is run by doctors and lawyers. You wind up having all sorts of things. Bodily injury claims are up 11% comparing these two data points, whereas property damage is down. The number of Scott hitting Wes incidences, property damage claims, is down 7.3%. But people are making bodily injury claims more often. That is up 11%.
If I'm in a crash in the U.S., do I go to a lawyer first or the doctor first?
It could be either one. A lot of people go to the lawyer first. Law firms represent roughly 65% of all the injured individuals.
How do you deal with that as a claims team to manage the cost?
At a high level, we know that CCC has somewhere around 75% to 80% market share on auto physical damage. 75% to 80% of all claims use their physical damage platforms. It's inverted on casualty. 75% to 80% use Mitchell products. In the example I gave you, Wes, where you go to the doctor and the doctor bills $300 and I'm trying to figure out what is reasonable and necessary, I can use CCC's platform along with a database that has all sorts of information from all sorts of payers in America. FairHealth is the most common repository of data. They are gathering what the doctors accept from Medicare, from health insurance plans, from every payer and every type of treatment. And that has become the standard. There's a Milliman database and all sorts of ways to do this, but you use CCC's platform and that database to audit the bill. You take the bill from the doctor that Wes got for his treatment for the $300, and you determine what the average doctor in that zip code accepts for CPT code 99213, or whatever the CPT code is. That's how the carriers reduce the payments and get to what's reasonable and necessary. If you don't do that, then the bills go unchecked. And the $300 for the initial office visit will quickly become $3,000.
How much software is used in the claims department on the auto physical versus the casualty side?
I think more on casualty because there are more types of claims and more ways for there to be abuse. In auto physical damage, it's just greater when it comes to injury claims. You look at this data right here, the average claim is $30,000 on casualty. On third party, that's a third party bodily injury claim, the average claim is $30,000.
Why is Mitchell stronger in casualty than CCC?
They've been at it a lot longer, and they've invested in their platforms, and they continue to improve them. That's the truth. The industry does a lot of work to keep doctors and lawyers honest, and you need a lot of tools to do that.
What other tools does GEICO use on the casualty side?
There are tools that will do the audit. We call that medical bill review. That's the audit of the $300 down to the $40.
What do you use?
GEICO uses CCC, but they announced in December that they were going to move to Mitchell in 2027.
Why are they moving?
As I understand it, they say that CCC hasn't invested in the platforms enough, and that's the reason for their decision.
What product is that called at CCC on the casualty side?
I call it medical bill review. I'm not sure what they call it. First-party medical bill review. The bills come in on governmental forms. You can OCR them. Half of the bills are audited in a touchless environment. They get scanned in, and when they get scanned in, they bounce against the database. The database returns values that you should pay, and an EOB goes out. It all populates into the claim system the right way.
How many of the bills do you not pay the amount requested, roughly, on average?
The vast majority of them. I mean, doctors look at this as an opportunity. Think about it. The doctors accept $40 from the health insurance company, so why are they billing the auto insurance company $300? It's the same injury, the same treatment. Think about it. I'm raking leaves in my yard and I hurt my back, or I'm shoveling snow in my driveway and I hurt my back. It's a strain or a sprain. It's the same injury and the same condition, just caused by a different thing. Why does the cause allow you to jack up your price 6 times what you would normally accept from the health insurance?
Why do they keep doing it if you keep pushing back and don't pay the full amount they ask for?
Because they get some amount of it paid by the lawyer. It's a whole cottage industry. When there's a settlement, you get paid some amount of the delta. Let your mind wander for a second on this data right here. If you do more surgeries, you're going to get paid more money, right? There are a lot of times doctors are going to operate on people where maybe they shouldn't. Doctors are in it to treat people, but they're also in it to get money. When you look at some of the frequency numbers and the data, it tells you there's a lot of abuse all over the place. Look at radiology down here and the distribution of procedure dollars. That's MRIs. That's like a 100% margin kind of business. You have to amortize the machine.
You mentioned medical bill review, where the vast majority are done by OCR and automatically reviewed. That integrates with a database that gives you the local pricing of a certain injury by code number, and you push back on that. On the casualty side, what other pieces of software do you use?
There are tools on the casualty side that allow for more consistent claim handling. For general damages, which is the pain and suffering we talked about 15 minutes ago, on third-party injury claims, one adjuster might look at a claim and say, pain and suffering is $3,000, while another might say it's $7,000. The insurance company needs consistency. Mitchell has invested in protocols and tools for that. I don't think CCC has a general damages consistency tool, but Mitchell does. It's called ClaimIQ. They bought ClaimIQ about 20 years ago.
If the average claim is $30,000, what percentage of that is pain and suffering general damages?
General damages are probably 30% these days, give or take.
And the rest is medical bills you get on surgeries and other items from the doctor?
Special damages, yes.
The special damages are itemized based on surgery and what the doctor is claiming for, and you then negotiate the price.
A CAT scan is medical technology that has been in existence for many decades, going back to the 1970s and 1980s. In 2019, the year before COVID, doctors were recommending 2.51 CAT scans on average per injured party. That increased to 2.73, which is a 9% increase in the average number of unique CAT scans per injured party. Now look at the amounts charged. This is old technology, not an MRI or open MRI. The amount charged is up 43%. When I talk about it being a cottage industry, it really is. People are looking to get more money out of insurance companies. That's the amount charged, not the amount paid, but it gives you an idea of what happens.
It seems like casualty is a bigger issue than auto physical.
There's a lot going on. 60% of the dollars go to fixing cars. 40% go to fixing people. The difference is that not every physical damage claim has an injured party, but casualty is a problem.
On the physical damage side, the car is dented. There's probably a more objective way to measure the repair cost, so you can't be screwed over as an insurer.
You don't have this category of general damages. pain and suffering, which is completely subjective. You are 100% correct.
How do you think about CCC's recent acquisition of Evolution IQ to enter casualty?
From what I'm told, it's helping a lot of insurance companies with third-party injury claims. I haven't seen it in place. They completed that acquisition after I left GEICO. But I'm told that many insurers are using it. CCC hasn't invested much in the first-party platforms, but they are investing in the third-party platforms. There are other products they sell. There's Evolution IQ, but there's also something called Demand Review that both CCC and Mitchell offer and sell to insurance companies. Demand Review takes a stack of medical records, sometimes 6 inches tall, sometimes 10 inches tall, and someone summarizes everything in there. I did an A-B test on this a decade ago. I took my claims department and said, "Everybody look at these records." Over 6 months, they made their own summaries and did their own analysis. That was the A part of the A-B test. The B part was having CCC and Mitchell do the summaries for some of the claims. You get a lower claim cost when they do it, which is why the industry has adopted those tools. Evolution IQ is one of the tools they have in place for that.
Which workflow do you see AI being most productive for insurers in either casualty or auto physical?
There's a lot of time spent reading and reviewing records in casualty. It's more of a desk job, and AI is going to have a greater impact on desk-oriented tasks as opposed to other work. AI is already having an impact on the physical damage side, but over time, it will have a more profound impact on casualty than on auto physical damage. It's important on auto physical damage. Let's finish liability before we go to auto physical.
How is Mitchell's competitive strength and history in casualty perceived from the insurer's perspective compared to CCC as a vendor?
Mitchell has been strong in providing the insurance industry with casualty products going back to the 1990s. CCC didn't get into that space until 2014 or 2015 when they bought something called AIS, which is Auto Injury Solutions. It was a platform owned by Humana. You can Google it. I think it was 2014 or 2015. That was CCC's first foray, and it was their attempt to diversify and get into other tools that the insurance industry needs, allowing them to compete with Mitchell on all of that.
How sticky is the software, and how hard is it to switch as an insurer in casualty versus auto physical damage? In auto physical damage, it seems like you have the repair shops, the insurer, and CCC or Mitchell syncing this up in the network. How does that compare to casualty and the switching costs?
The switching costs on casualty are going to be much higher than the switching costs on auto. There are just more moving pieces. There are injury claims. So much of what happens is medically based, and medicine evolves at a totally different rate. The abuse is different. I mean, injections and surgeries and diagnosis codes. It's just different than a fender that's dented and needs to be repaired or replaced.
So you're saying the CCC data they have in terms of the repair cost localized doesn't change as much, or that's less sticky than keeping up to date with the medical cost and the medicine cost of all these different surgeries on the casualty side?
Yes.
And getting an accurate price of all those different permutations of casualty liability?
Yes, if you think about it, when it comes to auto physical damage, the cost of the parts and the amount of labor are all driven by published materials. There's not that much left for judgment. When it comes to a third-party medical claim, there's a ton of judgment involved. Things that you can do to get consistency on the application of judgment and on the cost of the claim help the insurer control that payment.
What do you mean by judgment?
Pain and suffering.
That's 30% of it, $9,000, which is double the auto physical damage claim.
That's judgment alone. How much of the auto physical damage claim is judgment? The only thing that's judgment is if the part can be repaired. Am I paying 3 hours of labor, or am I paying the labor? Those are hours of labor, and each hour of labor is worth $70. It's just not that big of a deal.
And from my understanding, Motors has an exclusive agreement with CCC, or maybe also provides it to Mitchell, to both. They're using the same data. But on the casualty side, where are Mitchell and CCC getting the data to deal with the judgment?
The biggest supplier of the data is called Fair Health. You can Google fairhealth.org if you want to learn a little bit about it. There's another thing. There's a good publication from a consulting outfit called RPC that gives you a little bit of a history of what happens in the casualty space. The motor stuff has been around forever, and that's what everybody uses. But there's not that much judgment other than repair times. When a part needs to be replaced, Motor says you're paying 3.5 hours of labor for a replacement. There's no judgment in that. You can have judgment in whether it can be repaired or if it has to be replaced, but there's guidance for that. It's just a smaller claim with less impact.
What does Fair Health provide exactly?
Fair Health is the largest repository of third-party payers. Think insurance plans, a third party. Think Cigna. Think any payer of medical bills or medical claims in America. Medicare is in there. There's all sorts of stuff that's in there. Why should the doctor who accepts $40 from Medicare for an injury be allowed to get $400 just because it's a different payer? It doesn't make any sense. That's like you walk into the supermarket and you pay $4 for a gallon of milk versus $40 for a gallon of milk.
But this is the same as Motors, effectively, for the casualty side. Can't CCC and Mitchell just buy the same dataset from Fair Health?
The insurer has to choose. There's Fair Health, there's Milliman as another source. There's probably 4 or 5 or 6 different sources that you can use. Fair Health happens to be the biggest. I want to say like 50% of all the medical claims in America are going through Fair Health data. It's a huge number.
So how does Mitchell provide value on the judgment beyond what they buy from Fair Health?
Their software platforms allow for the processing of the claim and all of the codes. All Fair Health is doing is providing the reimbursement data per code, but the actual processing of it is their platform.
So effectively, they've built software to process the reimbursement data they buy from Fair Health.
Yes, exactly.
So what gives Mitchell, or CCC, an edge in this game in casualty?
Ease of use in the platform that the adjuster is using. The adjuster only sees the data returned by Fair Health. Everything that's happening in the system is either in the Mitchell system or the CCC system. I think it might be called MedFlow in some of the CCC reports. I want to make sure that we cover the AI stuff on auto physical damage, just so that I give you a high-level summary of how that works.
Yes. Where do you see AI adoption in the auto physical damage side?
It's evolving. It's in place, and carriers are adopting it. It's important. I think everybody that looks at the results is scratching their head saying, why is the adoption so slow? The answer is because the insurance industry wants to make sure that the product is doing everything it should be doing and that there are no unintended consequences versus a human being. You're never going to get 100% of the auto physical damage claims going through an AI tool, at least not any AI tool that I've seen at this point.
Why not?
There are things that happen in auto physical damage that require some amount of human involvement. Let's go through what happens when a human does it, and then we'll compare what happens when a computer or AI tool does it. A human being is going to look at the system on their laptop and see the parts. The insurance industry does not allow its adjusters to include on an estimate things they cannot see. I'm looking at your car. You know that a car is a compilation of 30,000 unique parts. If the damaged area has not been disassembled or torn down, meaning pulling the fender off to see what the upper rail looks like, what the reinforcement or intrusion beam in the door looks like, there are a million things. That panel, your fender, is a cookie sheet. It's literally a tiny little piece of metal that's painted with color and enamel. Behind all of that are all sorts of other things. Let's take your bumper as an example. You may look at your bumper and say, I need a new bumper. The thing you're looking at, though, you think it's the bumper, is really just the cover. There's a reinforcement bar, an impact absorber, brackets, and other components that are part of the bumper assembly that you would never know about unless we disassemble the car, take the bumper cover off, and look at what else has been damaged. If you start off with the principle that you cannot include in your estimate that which you cannot see as being damaged, every car should be disassembled when the estimate is written.
What percentage of accidents is that, roughly?
The insurance industry pushes for disassembly, but there's a lot of auto body shops. There are 30,000 shops in America. If you take the big MSOs, we only have 4,500 of those out of 30,000. There are a lot of independent shops. At least 70% of the volume is not disassembled when the first estimate is written.
What's the point of sending an adjuster to the car if the odds are that they're not going to be able to see everything? They're just going to give you an inaccurate estimate.
That's where the AI model comes into play. We're going to get to a place where, I don't know, 50% of the initial estimate is done by the AI model. What happens is you do an initial estimate, and then there's a supplemental estimate. We call those supplements. Sometimes there are 3 or 4 supplements per claim because the part's not available, or there are a million other things that could happen. That's what straight-through processing is meant to do. It's meant to take a picture, and look at the picture. The picture may not be of a disassembled car, it's just going to be your bumper cover. They're going to say the average bumper cover on a 2021 Camry with that kind of an impact gets this kind of an estimate amount. It's just formulaic. If you think about it, it's a fascinating concept, but getting it right, which CCC does, requires having more data than anybody else on that in order to get it right. The estimate itself requires disassembly, so we'll get there on how much of STP, what percent of all the estimates can truly be touchless from the insurance company's perspective. But as a body shop, I need to disassemble the car. It's not going to disassemble itself.
Right. There's no way of getting around that if you're going to repair it, to see the actual damage. But let's say in 5 years' time, what do you see the workflow then? Let's say typical bumper or rear end damage. What percentage will go for STP in 5 years, in your estimate, roughly? I think it's 5% now, for example.
It'll be at least 30% in 5 years.
So then the insurer saves the money of sending an adjuster out to this first initial damage. And the car would just go straight to the repair shop?
It'll be done on pictures, and you'll get an initial estimate. The vehicle will be disassembled, and then at the first supplement, you'll send somebody. Maybe you have new pictures that come in, and you can do pictures through. You only need somebody when something has to be observed personally. There's glare in pictures, and they don't always represent the damage perfectly. It's going to improve. It always improves. To go from 5% to 30% in 10 years, or in 7 years, it could be 50%. I don't think it'll be 100%, but you never know what's going to happen. If you took 50% of the claims expense out of the equation, on the auto physical damage side, it's real money. If you go back and look at some of those numbers, if I get 30% or 50% of my claims in a touchless world, we're talking about a lot of expense coming out of the equation.
How do you see the role of the adjuster changing?
The reason the adoption is slow and it's only 5% right now is because of how the industry works. The way STP works, you can set a threshold. And the threshold is I want 95% accuracy or 98% accuracy of the initial estimate. In order to get 98% accurate, you're going to have the lightest hit vehicles. We have a bumper job because it's just not complicated. You have one area of the car, and there are six parts that are in that bumper assembly.
You mean 98% of the estimate from STP has to be 98% of the actual final repair cost?
Yes.
That's impossible, right?
The human being doesn't get 98%.
Right, exactly. But that's why the insurer is saying to use this technology to start with. That's what they're saying they need? That's how they're adopting it?
They pick a number. Each insurance company is going to pick a number, but they're trying to avoid overpaying up front and ensure everything is working correctly. If you were to say 80% versus 90%, that's huge. There's a lot of money involved. If you know you're going to have a supplement, you want to make sure that every single claim that gets a supplement receives a disciplined supplement that includes everything that should be repaired, so you don't end up with four supplements, which can happen with calibration today. We've talked about calibrations in the past when it comes to ADAS and other systems in a car. The fact that the car needs recalibration is the most frequent supplement that a carrier gets right now because it's not obvious at the initial estimate that one of the systems is involved. The other thing that's not obvious is the guidance from the manufacturers. There are all sorts of reasons for this supplemental estimate issue. But AI is going to have a profound impact on the number of adjusters you need in auto physical damage. It's going to have a profound impact in liability and casualty too. It's already getting there with straight through processing.
How do you compare Mitchell's position in auto physical damage to CCC?
It's the opposite from casualty. CCC has 80% share on APD. Progressive is the one company that uses Mitchell, and we've talked about Progressive in the past. They use Mitchell. The industry is looking at what they do to make sure they don't have a bigger leg up on anybody. State Farm did an A/B test in 2025. They turned the state of Ohio onto Mitchell. State Farm had been 100% CCC, but they turned the state of Ohio onto Mitchell. So all estimates in Ohio were Mitchell. Then they took a large MSO and said that one MSO would use Mitchell. At the end of their A/B test, they must have been happy with the results because they told the repair ecosystem, "We don't care what platform you use." All of their direct repair shops, where they recommend customers to these shops, can choose what they use. It's not being forced by State Farm.
Why not?
Because it's immaterial. The data comes from motors, and the platforms are very comparable. In State Farm's A/B test, they determined that it didn't matter which platform you use, so they became platform agnostic. Other companies are probably looking at Progressive, who uses Mitchell, and at the A/B test that State Farm did, and they're doing it differently, which is a threat to CCC. They had good numbers. You saw the stock pop based on the fourth quarter results. That's great, but I'm not sure it was driven by new clients.
Why would a big insurer like Geico, for example, switch to Mitchell on the auto physical side?
It's cheaper.
How much cheaper is it?
It's very competitively priced. I don't know for the insurer because it was never anything that I looked at. My sense is it's probably 30% cheaper, if not more. On a shop level, it's significantly cheaper.
For the repair shops?
For the repair shops, significantly cheaper. Half or 40% of the estimates we write through Mitchell.
So when you're not forced by the insurer, you write it through Mitchell?
Yes. We have an excellent deal with Mitchell. It's more than 50% cheaper. That's real money.
How is it so much cheaper?
They're targeting different margins.
We've spoken about IAA and Copart before, and there seem to be some similarities with Progressive and how they deal with vendors. Their focus on low cost, leveraging their scale. I see some similarities here in the claims department on the software side. How do you compare the two situations?
They're very analogous. In the insurance industry, when you listen to what people are talking about, they say CCC has better products. But CCC has all the leverage. The insurance industry is paying attention to Mitchell and the improvements they're making in all of the things they offer in APD and casualty. CCC is not going out of business, but the insurance industry, I suspect, would like to see more of a duopoly than an 80% market share. They earn the 80% share, but in the absence of adoption of new products, the only way they get it is by increasing price on existing customers. That's the issue with monopoly power.